Okay, thank you. I'd like to thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity to give a talk here. My talk is entitled Computational Methods for Entanglement in Lattice Models, and it's based on work done in collaboration with some students, a postdoc, and my colleague Richard Scalatar at UC Davis, Roger Melko and his group at Waterloo, Jan Oikma at University of New South Wales, Matt Hastings, who's now at Microsoft, and Paul Findlay at Virginia. And the outline of the talk is as follows. I'd like to begin with a couple of motivational slides. Most of the talk will be about using some really standard computational methods in condensed matter, namely quantum Monte Carlo studies of finite size systems and linked cluster methods applied in the thermodynamic limit to various spin, boson, and fermion lattice models. Our interest is primarily in studying entanglement at quantum phase transitions, and in particular, I'd like to discuss our efforts to extract universal singular behavior at the phase transitions, and then end with some summary and conclusions. So the excitement about entanglement is relatively new in condensed matter, although we just heard from Ashwin how almost all of condensed matter really can be phrased in terms of entanglement. From a computational point of view, by far the most important impact entanglement has had so far is that it provides a fundamental understanding of the success of density matrix renormalization group. This method was developed by Steve White, and it can solve many one-dimensional problems to machine precision. As we know, the Hilbert space of quantum many-body systems increase exponentially, and yet lattice models in the thermodynamic limit can be solved to machine precision. So it's a method that basically works by starting with a small system and then one by one adding more and more sites to the system, and at every stage keeping only a limited number of basis vectors. And somehow this basis set reduction can give many properties to machine precision. We now understand that this is related to low entanglement in the ground state, and as long as the entanglement is properly accounted for, we have an excellent variational wave function for the ground state of the system. So this has given rise to powerful variational methods, the matrix product method in one dimension, and its tensor network generalizations in higher dimension, which I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more about during this conference. It's also a natural successor of Wilson's numerical renormalization group, which he had used to solve the Kondo problem to machine precision. And as is well known, Ken Wilson was very interested in sort of extending these to lattice models and to actually ab initio calculations in quantum chemistry and solid state physics. But he was not able to make much progress during that stage, but there is a hope that, you know, with this new understanding, perhaps we'll have a much better way of going from atoms to materials beyond the conventional density functional theory. Okay, entanglement, it's also, from a many-body point of view, it's also clear that entanglement contains information on all low-lying physics in the system. So if we have a broken symmetry state and Goldstone modes, there are distinct signatures for those. If we have topological order, such as a quantum spin liquid, then there are clear signatures for those. And as mentioned by Ashwin, I mean, this may have already helped solve one of the outstanding problems in frustrated magnetism, namely the ground state of the Kagome lattice Heisenberg model. If we have Fermi surfaces, then there are signatures of those in entanglement entropy. If we have quantum critical points where we have a continuous phase transition between two phases and the correlation lengths diverge in space and time, then there are characteristic signatures of those as well in the entanglement entropy. So there's a great expectation that the study of entanglement will help in finding novel phases, characterizing quantum critical points, and understanding RG flows. So this talk is really about how we go and use computers to compute entanglement entropy systematically for lattice models. So let's just compare non-interacting versus interacting systems. So in a non-interacting system, there are really excellent methods which are also excellent computational methods, such as the correlation matrix method, which has been reviewed by Peschel. Namely, if we want to calculate, let's say, if we want to divide the system into two parts and calculate the bipartite entanglement entropy, all we need to do is to calculate the correlation matrix for the subsystem, and then the entanglement entropies are related to the eigenvalues of this correlation matrix. And really, if we put this on a computer, it's easy to study systems with linear size 1,000, for example. For fermions. compared to this, when we are dealing with a many-body Hilbert space, then we know that for a many-body system, the Hilbert, one has to really actually fully diagonalize the system in order to get the ground state, and the Hilbert space really increases exponentially. And this severely limits what one can get by a computation. So full diagonalization, basically, the size of the matrices that can be diagonalized on present-day computers are limited to something like 10 to the power 5, which even using lots of symmetries basically restrict one to sizes, a number of sites which are afforded somewhere in the 20s, really. If one is interested in low-lying states of sparse Hamiltonian, then I just learned from Andreas Laukley that he has done n equals 48, which is pretty remarkable. That corresponds to a linear dimension of order 10 to the power 12. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Very few people can actually do such large systems. In one dimension, clearly, DMRG is the method of choice, and it remains an excellent method for calculating entanglement properties as well. But in this talk, I'm interested in D bigger than one. And really, I'm going to focus on two very traditional methods which can be adapted to study entanglement properties. Stochastic methods, that is quantum Monte Carlo methods, which can be developed for finite but relatively large systems, not with not just tens of atoms, but actually thousands or tens of thousands of atoms. And linked cluster methods, such as series expansions and numerical linked cluster methods, which really are explicitly formulated in the thermodynamic limit, but really are controlled when there's a small parameter. And so there is a need for some kind of an extrapolation if one wants to study critical properties. And in this talk, I'm going to focus entirely on entanglement entropies as the measure of entanglement. There are several posters at this conference by Simon Trebston collaborators, for example, that actually further deal with numerical studies of entanglement that I'd like to point out. And also there will be a talk next Monday by Andreas Laukley. Actually, a lot can be gotten from exact diagonalization as well. And Andreas is going to probably discuss those as well in his talk. Okay, so let me begin with quantum Monte Carlo methods. So one of the powerful methods developed by Anders Sandvik is known as stochastic series expansion method. And this is a method based on expanding the partition function in powers of inverse temperature or beta. And if we have an unfrustrated spin systems as well as some boson models, then all these terms over here basically can be made positive and interpreted essentially as a probability for getting a certain space-time configuration of these spins. And even though this looks like an infinite summation, if we write it as a sum over n of p sub n, then one can show that, you know, for these models with where the Hilbert space is bounded from above, basically this probability distribution as a function of n peaks at some n of order capital N times beta, where we have n capital N spins and the inverse temperature is beta. So it's essentially finite, and with to precision of computer and far better, it cuts off exponentially over here. So with essentially no errors, it's possible to sample this entire series and thus get an exact discrete time representation for spin configurations in space and continuous imaginary time, from which various operator expectation values can be calculated. So if we want to calculate entanglement entropy from this kind of quantum Monte Carlo, then one has to essentially work with Renyi entropies. And one has to make use of this replica trick, which is well known from field theory, that basically these Renyi entropies with integer n can be expressed in terms of essentially a modified partition function, which is really the partition function of the system having special topology. Explicitly, if we want to do, for example, the second Renyi entropy, then the system, the subsystem A basically has imaginary time a length of 2 beta, whereas the system B, we have 2 independent copies, each with imaginary time interval beta. One can really develop stochastic series expansion basically in this kind of configuration, as was done first by these authors here. And then once we have this with suitable thermodynamic integration, the entropy can be calculated. So basically, by simply, since we know these quantities at beta equal to 0, we can essentially, if we can measure the energy for these 2 configurations, we can compute this quantity. And this is a plot of a particular model, I think the XXZ model that I'll maybe introduce in the next slide. And for where the subsystem B is this, is the interior over here, and the subsystem A is the outside system. And at finite temperature, basically the entropies are dominated by thermal entropy, and they are proportional to the volume, but at really low temperature, one essentially gets the ground state and the entanglement entropy. to look for signatures of a phase transition, now this is a finite temperature phase transition, one can define the mutual information, and this has a very clear signature of the phase transitions in the system. So in particular, the first surprise was that when they plotted, one expects this quantity to become scale invariant at the critical point, that when we plot, when they considered this particular system and plotted I2 divided by L, that they found that scale invariance was obtained not only at one temperature, but at 2 temperatures, at TC as well as 2 times TC. And in hindsight, this can be understood simply from the fact that we have 2 different regions with 2 different imaginary time dimensions, really. Another method that one can use to study entanglement is basically high temperature series expansions now in the thermodynamic limit. Now one cannot use the partition function, which doesn't have a well-defined thermodynamic limit, but rather any normalized quantity, any extensive or intensive quantity, such as these entropies, can be expanded in powers of beta using a linked cluster method. So we can write this in the thermodynamic limit as some coefficient times beta to the power m. And one way to calculate these coefficients is in terms of this linked cluster method, where one can write this as a sum over different linked clusters that can be embedded in the lattice, a count of the cluster, and a weight of the cluster that involves calculating the entanglement entropy purely for the finite cluster, and then subtracting off all terms that arise from a smaller subcluster. And basically, if we divide the infinite lattice, let's say, into 2 halves, then one can show that only clusters that cross the dividing line contribute to the mutual information. And essentially, area law is built into the series expansion. That is, if we considered this quantity per unit length, then that will be that will have a well-defined expansion. And the area law is really built into this. In this case, one can also show that the coefficients in the dependence on the Renyi index is very simple. It's basically just a polynomial in N of order m minus 1. So essentially, it can be calculated for arbitrary Renyi index. Okay, and it's related to the fact that one has multiple transitions over here. So let me just skip that and talk about, just mention briefly series extrapolations, because what we are dealing with here is a function which has some expansion in coefficient of x but we know only a small number of terms, really, of order 10 to 20. And the question is, how do we obtain singular behavior? This is obviously a mathematically ill-posed problem, but in practice, it works reasonably well. One can represent this function of interest by an approximant, capital F of x, which has the same power series, but which has a behavior that contains appropriate singularity. So for example, if we replace this by a ratio of polynomials, then it can mimic simple, it'll have simple poles. If we replace it by this d log pad a approximant, then it'll have power law singularities. If we expect log singularities, then we can do something different. So in all cases, essentially, by representing it as an approximant which has the same power series, we can get estimates for the critical point and other critical parameters. Okay, so this is now getting back to the XXZ model for which I showed some data for quantum Monte Carlo simulations. And here's a comparison of the Monte Carlo results versus the series expansion result. So this is the second Reni entropy linear coefficient, which one gets by fitting this to a linear behavior. And these data are basically the Monte Carlo data for different kinds of partitions. And one can see that this is the series expansion result done to order 7, 9, and 11. And one can see the series is starting to diverge around this point over here. And if we build in this t log t singularity as expected for this two-dimensional Ising model universality class, it agrees all the way up to the critical point. In addition, in this method, one can also calculate the logarithmic singularity associated with the corner and show that it's related to the central charge C. But this is really a finite temperature phase transition. The primary interest, of course, is in studying the entanglement in the ground state and really in studying various kinds of singularities at the quantum critical point. Okay, so a number of models have been studied. Let me just first, one strategy really is to consider a model and really tune the couplings to the critical point and then study the size dependence at that critical point. So for example, the transverse field Ising model, that is the simplest model on a lattice, really, that has a phase transition and the critical point is well known. This is the Ising universality class. If we consider, for example, an anisotropic spin one model, then at large D, one has a unique ground state where all the spins are in the SZ equals zero sector, but then there is a phase transition before one goes into an XY ordered phase, and again, the critical point is known. If we consider a bilayer Heisenberg model where we have two layers of Heisenberg spins coupled by some interaction J perp between them and interaction J in the planes, then once again, this is a well-studied model with a quantum critical point. And all these ON universality classes can be studied. one can also study the ON universality class basically by considering, again, a bilayer Heisenberg model with a coupling in the plane that has some anisotropy in it. And again, depending on the value of lambda, one can get either Ising or XY or Heisenberg type universality in the model. There's also interest in Hubbard models. So one model that for which critical properties have not been studied but would be quite interesting is the half-filled bilayer square lattice Hubbard model. If we just consider the tight binding model on a bilayer, then this model has a simple metal to insulator phase transition as the two bands basically get separated really with a gap in the middle. One knows that if one turns on a large U, then this model has a phase transition between a singlet phase and a magnetically ordered phase. The question of whether a metallic phase survives a small U is not really well, is controversial in this model and potentially can be understood by looking for log violations of the entanglement entropy. Area law. So to study ground state entanglement, again, a number of different Monte Carlo methods have been developed, and I just want to briefly mention them. So one can do projection Monte Carlo, which is one can directly get to the ground state by developing a projection Monte Carlo, which by applying various powers of the Hamiltonian really projects onto the ground state. For example, it can be done in the valence bond basis. And one can calculate the entanglement entropy by basically measuring the expectation value of the swap operator. That is, one simulates two copies, two identical copies of the system independently, non-interacting copies, and basically exchanges, swaps the degrees of freedom within one subsystem. And one can show that that expectation value, this overlap of the swapped state with the original state, is related to the trace of rho a squared. And hence, by measuring this, one can measure the second Rennie entanglement entropy. Another method that has been used by a number of authors really is to consider an extended ensemble where one switches between the partition function of this system and the partition function of this system by a detailed balance condition, which ensures that the amount of time the system spends here versus here is really proportional to their ratio. So in that sense, you know, this method directly gives us the appropriate entanglement entropy. Okay, for fermions, for strongly interacting fermion systems, the determinant Monte Carlo is a powerful method, which has been developed a lot at Santa Barbara, really, where one uses the Hubbard-Stratonovich transformation to map the interacting fermion problem into a bilinear one in presence of these time-varying Hubbard-Stratonovich fields. And because the problem becomes bilinear, one can write down expressions for the entanglement entropy, again, as sums over the different Hubbard-Stratonovich configuration in different replicas times some Green's function of the system for a given S and S prime. But I should say that mostly these calculations have been done for relatively small u so far, and critical properties have not been studied for interacting fermion models yet. One can also develop ground state series expansions. For example, if we consider a transverse field Ising model, one can develop an expansion either in J over H or in H over J for this model. And if we think about it, so if we, let's say we consider J an expansion in J equal to zero, then at J equals zero, basically all the spins are pointing in the X direction, and the unperturbed state is a product state and has no entanglement. The leading term basically flips a pair of spins. So this leads to additional entanglement between spins right on the boundary, and that translated across the boundary basically again leads to an area law contribution. And in higher orders, then bigger and bigger clusters entangle across the boundary basically. So once again, one can show that there is a linked cluster expansion for Rennie entropies with integer n bigger than or equal to 2, and the area law remains valid as long as this perturbation theory converges. So formally, this is again the one way to calculate this is basically very similar to what I discussed for the high temperature expansion. So if we want to expand in powers of either J over H or H over J using this non-degenerate perturbation theory, we can formally write it as a series, and these coefficients really can be calculated by summing over clusters of different size. And only clusters that cross the dividing line contribute, and so area law is really built in over here. And the coefficients can now only be calculated for integer Rennie index bigger than or equal to 1, bigger than 1. And non-integer Rennie entropies actually are singular already at x equal to 0. And this is easy to see. Okay, let me skip this. It's easy to see, but perhaps the argument I would have liked to make here is that it might be sufficient. I would like to argue that to get at certain singular coefficients, it may be sufficient to study to study the large alpha limit which entirely comes from this ground state term. Okay, so just to flash some results, this is comparing series expansion and quantum Monte Carlo results. Now this is for the one-dimensional transverse field Ising model, and I have removed log 2 from the ordered side over here because the series expansions are done around a particular ground state. So one can see there's pretty good agreement here. Here is another comparison. This is the Heisenberg bilayer model, these are different orders, and this is really Monte Carlo data from Helms and Wessel. Again, I think the agreement looks very good. The method I'd like to really focus on is the numerical link cluster methods, which can also give us the von Neumann entropy. It's a method that really combines link cluster methods with exact diagonalization. And so we think about just writing it just like one does in series expansion, except these weights, instead of expanding it in powers of some coefficients over here, one calculates them exactly. Okay, so this can be done for any coupling really, and in particular one can sit at the critical coupling and then carry out these calculations. And one can further simplify the problem by simply restricting to only rectangular clusters. So one can imagine that all clusters which can be, the contribution from all clusters that can be basically the smallest rectangle in which they can be embedded, that's where the contribution of that cluster goes to. And so when it's sufficient really to do this calculation simply over all rectangular clusters, which significantly simplifies the counting. This works for non-integer Reni indices. And furthermore, DMRG can be helped with bigger clusters, making it potentially really much more accurate. So one way to study, for example, the corner entropy with DMRG is to, first of all, in all these series expansion methods, the corner entropy is isolated by considering cuts of this type and then subtracting off by partitions like this, so that when you take this particular combination, it just leaves you with a corner. And in this method, one needs to place the corner at all possible points of the cluster. And then for every calculation in DMRG, one needs to consider the linearization of the system in such a way that the corner, that the two sides are separated. Okay, so in general, when we compare, let's say, series expansion numerical link cluster expansion, what one finds is that, of course, it agrees very well, except near the critical point, we see that the order up to which, the sizes up to which the calculation has been done limits this, which means that one needs an extrapolation in the order up to which the numerical link cluster expansion has been done. So one can define a length scale in this two-dimensional problem based on what is the largest cluster that one has studied, and one can define linear dimension in various way in which one can do the extrapolation, and they work in a very similar way. So this is an example of benchmarking using the energy of the cluster, and these are various data points. One can see that essentially it extrapolates quite well and comes much closer to the quantum Monte Carlo data compared to what one gets from series expansion, really. So one expects the entropy, linear entropy, to scale as 1 over the correlation length, the corner entropy to always scale as a logarithm. One can basically, in various models, one can really fit the entanglement entropy to this log L behavior and then pick up the coefficient of this log L singularity. And let me just emphasize, I want to just emphasize a couple of results over here. So first of all, this is the calculation of the corner entanglement entropy for different Rennie indices are done for these O1, O2, and O3 models. And one important result really is that these corner terms basically scale with n to a very good approximation. And this is, of course, very similar to the results, much more accurate results obtained in ON vector models by these authors over here, where if you look at their, they studied the central charge, and they found that basically the central charge to a very high degree of approximation really scales with n. And this very interesting recent paper, and there are some further papers, they suggest that that actually the ratio of the corner entanglement entropy to the central charge defined in terms of the stress energy tensor may be universal, especially in the limit when the opening angle of this corner is close to pi. As far as these linked cluster methods are concerned, I mean, going to higher dimension is not a very big issue. One can calculate various area, edge, and corner entropies in higher dimensions as well. And let me just mention one final result over here, that one thing that is interesting is one can ask whether the singularities, log singularities associated with corners have anything to do with the singularities that you get in a continuum field theory when you have a spherical boundary separating the two regions. And so in particular, if I have a cube and I have logs associated with the corners of the cube, do eight corners have something to do with the results for a sphere? This is the result for a free scalar field theory. And if I assume that from both the high field and low field side, the results are the same, so I can basically average them, what one finds is that as a function of this Rennie index, these numbers are extremely close. Okay, so here are my conclusions. So several computational methods are being developed that allow calculation of ground state entanglement entropies of quantum critical lattice models. And I expect that there will be a lot more results coming out soon. Many groups are now working on this problem, really. Rennie entropies may be sufficient for studying universal properties, and in any case, that is much more amenable to these calculations. Log singularities at a corner are universal. Various models have been studied. I didn't emphasize that, but basically they seem to give the same results. And they scale with n in ON models to a very good approximation. The log singularities for the transverse field Ising model for a cube are close to free field theory results for a sphere. In general, can we calculate critical properties for interacting fermion models? And can we use entanglement entropy to convincingly discover new phases and critical points in realistic lattice models? Okay, thank you.
So it seems that most of the properties are the same on both sides of the transition, right? Is there some way that entanglement can be used to distinguish between the different sides of the transition, like the ordered phase and not?
I mean, they are not the same, but they are continuous.
Are the exponents the same?
The exponents should be the same. They should basically, from the scaling, if you make a very simple scaling assumption, you'll argue that basically what happens near a critical point, that blocks of size C get correlated. Independent degrees of freedom, really, one independent degree of freedom in terms of critical fluctuations is of the size of C. And so this is in 2 plus 1. So in this case, the critical fluctuation scale as L over C. In 3 plus 1, they will scale as L over C square. So the area law coefficient, if you like, has a singularity, which is 1 over C square. So So the critical exponents are the same from both sides, but they are not the same. I mean, you know, but you expect them to be continuous.
I've heard it said in certain contexts that the von Neumann entropy is numerically more robust than the Rennie's. The errors are somehow easier to control. Is that a general rule, or is there any truth to that lore? Or?
Not in this context.
Is there anything particularly nicer?
I think, well, actually, let me say one thing. I do have a plot at the very end here, which might be useful. So I didn't talk about finite size effects, but this is a study that Roger and some of his collaborators are now undertaking, studying the free boson model and studying, you know, the errors in this, if you like, the link cluster method. And basically what they find is that as you go to bigger and bigger, so these are the exact results, actually. And as you go to bigger and bigger system, you see, you start off with something like this, and then it drifts towards this. And it crosses somewhere, and then over here it drifts down. So actually what you said might be true in this context also, because actually it has already hit the correct answer by the system size, but it hasn't quite hit that at these points. So somewhere there's a crossing where you would expect the errors to be the least. But this is purely empirical statement.
I have a general question about series matter. Is it correct that if I'm interested in terms which don't, so suppose I'm interested in terms which don't even scale with system size at all, suppose it's neither, I don't know, area, volume, or log, it's just some constant. Can you
bulk terms? No, that you cannot access by this method, because by definition we are starting a series expansion in a non-critical state. We've taken a thermodynamic limit.
Yeah, but I was wondering, can series expansion be done in a finite size lattices?
Yes, they can, but it would be very difficult if you need to go across, unless your lattice size is very small. I mean, if you really want to get an effect that depends on clusters going all across the lattice,
right.
Then, you know, I think the advantage over exact diagonalization would be limited.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The last question.
Yeah, it's actually a comment going back to your question whether we would like to have Rennie or von Neumann entropies. In fact, I think in numerics you would like to have von Neumann entropies, because we know that Rennie entropies can show all kinds of artifacts, boundary transitions, and these things, but we are limited. So in Monte Carlo, we haven't yet understood how to go, you know, beyond the replica trick to, you know, end up automatically in this Rennie entropies. And also, if you look at, you know, the showcase, the Kagome lattice undifferentiated, if you look at the early works, you know, you will see that they actually calculated higher order Rennie entropies in order to see, you know, this log two behavior and not the von Neumann entropy. And I think it's not entirely clear, you know, why we have, you know, to go that way. Yeah.
Let's thank Rajiv.